Last week, Mr. Carlson read the article about Governor Cuomo's horrific legislation that allows children to be aborted when they're crowning, virtually. And that was a shock that across the internet that was really substantial. And yet, if you'll notice, the news media tried to stay away from it. The second shock over the internet concerning such things was this governor from Virginia, who is a former pediatrician of all things, and his name is Northam, N-O-R-T-H-A-M. You ought to go look at his interview at a radio station that was videotaped. What he said was murder, in no uncertain terms. What he said was, he was very kind and very professional, very gentle in his explanation. And so what he said is, when the baby comes and comes out, they'll be kept warm and comfortable with the mother there, and our team of experts would talk to the mother about the baby, and she'll decide whether she wants to keep it or not, meaning we'll stick a needle in its brain with poison and kill it at that time. That's murder. Once they, come out, that's murder. But that's what he said. It's right on the video. There was a shock on that way. But of course, and before I mention this, Martin Luther King's niece came on and spoke out about what came next. And that was the blackface and so forth. She says blackface is, that's ugly, but doesn't even compare to murdering babies when they come out. And I just wanted to, cheer for that lady. She had her priorities straight. So anyway, that shock, if you followed it at all, and you should. And like I said, I would tell you, please go watch that video. You can't believe this former pediatrician who's the governor of Virginia telling how he was going to murder babies when they came out. And he was saying the new law had just been introduced in Virginia trying to follow up what Cuomo, the devout Catholic, said about his legislation. And he's following through on it. And he thought this was the greatest legislation. I mean, this really is the bottom line to get all this settled about abortion. And the internet just went crazy. The senator from Nebraska, Sass is his name, U.S. senator, a very popular guy, he said, get the hell out of office, to this Virginia governor. He was right. Now, where is a reaction if someone could see a pediatrician give that kind of an interview? Well, there was a very strong reaction on the internet, but as, I don't know her actual name, Mr. King's relative said, this blackface thing is ugly, but has no comparison to killing babies at birth. And that's the story that's big. It just wiped the other story off the news, totally and completely. The day it first hit about this Governor Northam, the first day it hit, the news media actually ran it. They didn't say a word. They didn't have to. They just ran the video. So that was a tremendous shock. Quite frankly, I hope it really is a shock to the population in general. It appeared to be. And it's just amazing that we have these monsters governing this country at this time. So when I saw this, I thought, yes, there was a huge backlash. Unfortunately, in this day and age, probably will not have that much effect, although I think it is having an effect. And they are showing in the polls that the younger generations are starting to turn. They're starting to see, and this should really help, they're starting to see what kind of monstrosity has been going on in our country. Now, it's not in time to save this country, and there's no way in the world it is that I can understand. But it is, the polls are saying, like 65% are saying that they are against abortion that happens after a certain date, and they pick different dates, which is one of Satan's cute little tricks. I'll come back to that in a moment. I did want to mention, though, just so happens that Governor Northam received a $2 million campaign contribution from Planned Parenthood, our friends at Planned Parenthood. So this was a shock. And it was amazing to me how easily the media of the major media networks wiped it off the news. And it was on purpose, believe me, they know what they're doing. They wiped it off the news. They made this other situation, which was ugly, and like the woman said, it's ugly, but it doesn't compare in any way to what this doctor was saying that the new legislation would do. The promoter of the legislation in Virginia said, oh, I didn't read it. I signed it, but I didn't read it. Seriously, this is the kind of thing that's going on. And I think it was quite a shock as far as those who are just not tied into the networks that either didn't cover it or went past it very quickly. The reason I'm giving this sermon is that I want to answer some questions. How could this fantastic country come to this place? Because that's one of the things you hear, or at least I see on the internet quite often. How could this happen? How could we get here? How could this happen? So I think it's worthwhile that we know, but you do know, but I would hope to some degree, I mean, it's hard to stay away from news like that to some degree, yet it's right to watch news like that to some degree. It discourages you and depresses you, but on the other hand, you have to understand and what is going on, and that kind of a shock is very unusual, even in this country, as hard-hearted we've become. But how could our country become so degenerate, so hardened, so ugly? Well, part of it, of course, and there's more than one reason I think you could come up in your mind, but one of the reasons, of course, is our leadership. But let's go to some scriptures that says where we're at now. Let's go to Romans 1. You know these scriptures, but put in the light of what I'm talking about, I think it's worthwhile taking a look at these scriptures that most of us know or have heard a number of times. Romans 1, verse 21. Because, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I can't think of a more darkened video that I've ever seen as far as a human being that was speaking. Professing to be wise, the pediatrician, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image of made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The creature meaning man, worshiping man. That's what they're doing. The pediatrician, he was very kind. You know, he knows, he understands these things. He knows what to do. You got to listen to him because he has this doctor of medicine degree. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another with their homosexual marriages. It's not pretty, but it's something that I felt I wanted to talk about today because you'll see towards the end of my sermon, I think by the time I would give a sermon and use this, other things have happened. Other things have come across the news media, etc., in a big way. So let's go to 2 Timothy 3:1, again answering this question of where we're at today, which of course implies an answer as to how we got here. 2 Timothy 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. That's where we're at now. That is where we are at now. I know we all have a certain amount of basic understanding of the Bible, but it's important that we, when times like this come up, that we do take a look at these things. Let's go to James 4. I want to make a point, because I'm trying to tie this to prophecy, too, to show us where we're at this time. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. That, of course, is describing the situation in our society, but it's a prophecy. And it just hit me when I read that, and I'm not going to go into all these things in this prophecy because it gets away from what I want to talk about. But let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and I'll go with verse 3, and I am just targeting war. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And of course, we've been hearing about that somewhat in the different messages, and it's really important to be not deceived. We can get discouraged, we can let down, and we can be deceived. "For many will come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars." The reason I just wanted to read that part of the prophecy is, that's all history. That's what mankind's been doing forever. And James tells us why. Because of greed. $2 million in your campaign fund. Because of greed. And we are not, as a nation, excused from that. I don't want to say that the United States is the worst offender. But, you know, let's face it. Aramco and the different oil companies are in Saudi Arabia. They're around the world. They were in Iran. These different companies do go there to make money, and they do take advantage of people. That's just the way of the world. And it causes war. And prophecy tells us one reason of how we got there. In fact, it tells us, and let's go to verse 22 of Matthew 24. You know, there's a saying in international relations, first go the businessmen, then come the army. Why? To protect the businessmen and the investment in the country. Well, that's man's way. We're no different today than we ever were. But it's all history in the way Christ presented it there. Because he says, don't be overly concerned. I should have read that. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass because of human nature, because of greed. You know, when you stop and think about it, prophecy really probably isn't that difficult. If you're Christ and God, you've seen everything that man's done for so long. It's not too tough to come up with prophecies. Now, you and I can't come up with specific prophecies as much as they can, but it's really not that tough. It's not hard to decipher. Why do we have wars? Because of greed. Why do we have babies being killed by pediatricians? Because of greed. Because of power that they want. And this is something that's terribly important that we all have in our mind. Unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's talking about a time in history since Christ that was going to come about. And we know, we see the things happening that the Bible tells us are going to happen. And we're there at this time. And we're there at this time because of mankind's inability to govern himself or to govern nations. But I'm tying it into the most recent thing that upsets me, is this abortion thing. Because I just thoroughly hope and pray. I'm praying for people in God's church, but also people who have a desire, but God has not opened their mind, have a desire, who are fighting against such things, because there is a fairly good size, who knows, percentage of our population that's terribly affronted by what has been said, what this doctor said, what Cuomo has done. One bishop actually had the courage to come out and say, he should be excommunicated. And the other bishop said, the archbishop said something to the effect, well, I don't think that's exactly the right way to handle this. What does he need? What in the world does he need? Well, that's how we've got here, because of leadership, because these people are leading us in such a manner that, as it says, at some point it's going to get where no one will survive on the face of the earth unless Christ returns. This is real. I know that some of you here remember some of the same things I do. Some of you don't, maybe never thought about it, maybe you heard about it a little bit, in the sense of bomb shelters when we were kids and we were of that age. We knew about bomb shelters because the most aggressive guy in the neighborhood dug a hole and got some kind of a strong, probably masonry, structure built for bomb shelters. Well, guess what? The bombs are bigger now. And a lot more of them. And the crazier people have them. We're in that time. Do we have a specific date? No. We've never set a date. And we always know that God's the one that has the trigger point in his hand, not us. But it's there. And it's going on. And it's getting worse. It's incredible. The last 5 years, what has happened in this country. It's just incredible. Have a doctor say what he said, homosexual marriage, the greed that is just easing out of Washington, D.C. The one area, I think it was actually a county, that goes around Washington, D.C., is the one area that during the 2017 or 16, that grew in economic productivity was around Washington, D.C. Why do you go rob a bank? Because that's where the money is. Why do you go rob the government? Because that's where the money is. And that's where they got the jobs. The increase in jobs during the Obama administration was huge. It has to do with greed. It has to do with why we are where we're at this time. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Am I telling you the obvious? Well, to some extent, maybe. Maybe I'm just emphasizing some things that you need to think about, I need to think about. 1 John 3, verse 4. When I read this, because obviously sin is at the bottom of all this, whichever sin you want to talk about, I've never heard it talked about in this way before, and it's not any big deal. I'm just saying my thought was, this is like a prophecy in and of itself. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. What have we got running in our country? We have lawlessness from the top to the bottom. We have a scripture that used to be quoted a lot about being sick from the head to the toe. Maybe I'm pointing out the obvious to you, but I think sometimes the obvious is necessary. I know it hit me to see it on the internet, the reaction. I was glad to see the reaction. At least people have some sense of decency. That they reacted. But where have they been for the last 10 years reacting? Well, it took this doctor being on video. It took Mario Cuomo, the governor of New York, to come out and say it. One thing that's coming around quite a bit, and I've heard this said, the Democrats are finally saying what they really mean. In other words, take the baby out and kill it if you don't like it. Greed is good. You know, whatever you want to say, whatever area of the society you want to talk about, the Democrats are finally saying what they like. They're really telling us the truth. Now, I'm not, believe me, I am not letting Republicans off the hook. I mean, they're pathetic in the sense that they don't stand up and take care of things. But it's our whole society. Mr. Armstrong used to quote an author that said, once a society goes over the 51% mark, that's when you'll see it collapse or go into a terrible decline. We're there. Quite easily, we are there. I don't know, maybe 30%, 35, 40% of the people really understand the society they are living in. They really understand the government that is governing this country. Maybe, I don't know, I have no great insights. I couldn't tell you for sure. I'm just saying it's become very few who are awake to this. And that's why I thought this tremendous response to the video and to Governor Cuomo's pet project where he lit up the building pink celebrating abortion is a good thing. Maybe some people can hear up in Sacramento when Mr. LeBlanc gives that Bible study. Maybe it will open some of their minds when they hear him speak. If not, you've just got to say, what will open your mind? What possibly can open your mind if this does not shock you beyond belief? Okay, the reason I decided to stay with abortion in the sense, I guess you'd say part of the theme, is because I doubt very many of you would have much understanding of what I'm going to talk about here. But what's important, why are we here at this time? I'm going to show you specifically about abortion, why we're here at this time. How could we get here? I'm going to show you. And it's going to be some legalese, not anything hard to understand. But I know most of you have heard of the term Roe versus Wade. Okay, and that's the big abortion case, everybody thinks. Of course, since Roe versus Wade, there's been a number of developments where we pay Planned Parenthood our taxes. You know, and how can it be more disgusting? But that's what it is. That's what the law is in our day and our age. And it's the most recent case, I'm not going to mention it, but the decision was, oh, Texas says you have to be within 30 miles of a hospital to perform an abortion. Makes sense, because, you know, complications. You want that person to get to a doctor, right, or the hospital. Well, they threw it out. The Supreme Court threw it out. I knew it, but I don't recall it this time. That case. You've got to give them access. They have to have access to the abortion facilities that they need. You know, we can't tell you how far or how close they have to be that these abortion clinics can operate, but they have to be where they have access. And, you know, maybe 30 miles isn't far enough. Maybe it's too far, you know, on and on and on. That was the decision of the Supreme Court at this time in this age. This is just the result. This is how we got here, decisions like that. Well, you probably know the term Roe versus Wade. Well, I'm going to give you some background on it that helps to understand what's going on there, because it isn't so simple, if I can put it that way. There is a case, I've got it at the top of my mind, but I can't think of it all of a sudden. There is a case that came up before to the Supreme Court, and this is embarrassing. I learned it in law school, you know, learned about it and so forth. Griswold versus Connecticut, 1965. Thank you. I found it in my notes. Griswold versus Connecticut is a very interesting case. Griswold came about because the Catholic Church had influenced the state of Connecticut to pass a law that you couldn't use birth control, married or otherwise. You can't use birth control. You can only use their method. I won't get into that. My point is, and that was the basis. And so Planned Parenthood filed a lawsuit against Connecticut and says you can't control what goes on in people's bedrooms if they want to use birth control. Well, yeah, that's pretty logical. That's pretty obvious, right? This is Satan. This is Satan at work. It's obvious, right? You pushed way too far. You're trying to control what people do in their bedrooms. So they took the case and lost it on the lower courts, and Planned Parenthood took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Well, at that time, there were some justices on the Supreme Court who said, well, yeah, we don't want the church being behind a statute that says what you do in your bedroom. That's logical. That's obvious, right? So the justices said, that's invasion of your privacy. You have a right to privacy. But it's not in the Constitution. Why was it not in the Constitution? There's a couple of amendments to protect against it. But the liberals on the court at that time, I thought it was Justice Douglas. I can't say that it was. If it was Justice Douglas, he was the first hippie on the Supreme Court. Married a number of times. Married a gal when he was on the court at about 75, 80 years old, however he was. She was 24. But, you know, despite all that, in Griswold, but it was the Catholic Church that was behind it, and they were trying to control people's minds and control according to their doctrine. And so the Supreme Court, under Douglas, I think, and some of the other liberal justices, and I've forgotten them, they're not worth remembering anyway, but they said, yeah, we can't have this. And other justices on the Supreme Court said, yeah, you're right, we can't have this. But don't create a new right, a new constitutional right out of thin air. It's in the Constitution. A person is to be protected in their home, protected in their being, you know, so forth. There's two amendments that apply quite easily. But no, they wanted to come up with something new. They wanted to make sure that they were remembered as those who invented the constitutional right of privacy, even though it is not in the Constitution. No where, no how. Some of the justices had enough sense. They said, wait a minute, don't open this door. You don't know where this is going to go. Don't open this door with a new right that nobody can figure out what it means. Don't do it. But of course, these guys had to make sure that their name went down in history as being great justices. So that right of privacy is, of course, what came up with Roe versus Wade. That's what it was decided upon. A woman has a right to privacy. She has a right to determine whether she wants an abortion or not, and whether you want the government to pay for it. No, all those things weren't even on the screen, weren't even on the horizon. And I've got a scripture at the end that I think you'll see is quite explanatory of what has happened. Norma McCorvey was the one who was Roe versus Wade. She was the plaintiff. They went out and they, in Texas, and some two women attorneys right out of law school, went out and they literally recruited. They wanted someone to challenge this. She said she'd challenge it because she had had two children and she was pregnant with a third. And so she was saying, look, I have a right to do what I want to do here with this third child. But they never do tell you. She never had the abortion. She had the child and adopted it out. You know, they don't tell you that she repented deeply having been the person who got that case into the Supreme Court. So Roe versus Wade isn't all that simple. There was no evidence produced. There was no witnesses at the trial of Roe versus Wade. That's how phony it was. They just pumped this thing up. They knew they had these liberals on the Supreme Court, and they were going to push it to the Supreme Court from the very beginning using this woman that says, I want to have the choice of having an abortion. That's what's behind Roe versus Wade, this precedent that can't be overruled. Well, whether I'm right or not, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, but it looks like it's going to be overruled in some ways, and probably it's going to be overruled in the sense they're going to say, turn it back over to the states. The states are the ones who are next to the people. They make those decisions. That's what the Constitution says, by the way. But the point is, it's going to get overturned to some degree. How much, I don't know. So you're going to have, you know, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Texas, all these, you know, no, they're not going to allow abortions except in a true sense that you have to make a decision about whether you take the baby or take the mother's life. That's not abortion. That's treating someone the best you can under those circumstances, which has been used just ridiculously in trying to uphold abortions. So it's not all that simple. It's not all that simple. And here's one of the really cute parts that sometimes you recognize Satan's hand. What are they saying now about abortion? You know, everybody is fired up. They're angry. I mean, not everybody, but a large number of people are fired up. A good percentage of the people have caught on to what this man was saying, and we can't have this. So what's going on? Negotiations, right? Compromise. We'll kill babies if it's only 2 months old. And that's where Satan plays the game. Go clear out here like Cuomo did, or like this governor of Virginia did, and everybody, no, oh, how horrible. They're right, it was horrible. And so they'll compromise for something that's just as horrible. 2-month-old children in the womb being slaughtered, murdered. You know, mankind, without God, cannot compete with Satan. He'll outthink us every time. It's absolutely amazing how easily we're outthought. It's how easy he gets around us. And that's where the nation is at this time. That's how we got to this, was Roe v. Wade in this phony lawsuit, the phony lawsuit by Planned Parenthood and Griswold. That's how we got here. What are the effects? Well, you've heard some of these things, but first of all, I would say some of the wonderful people who promoted this thing and started rolling, non-lawyers, you know, Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan, people like this, women's rights in our society. Was there things wrong the way women are treated? Yeah. So you're going to kill babies about it? You're going to give everybody the choice of killing babies? So anyway, I thought there was an interesting comment. Rob Loeb, do you know who Rob Loeb is? He's a movie star. I haven't seen him in any movies for a long time. I can't even remember a movie he was in, but he was in movies and made a lot of money, and was a very bright guy, apparently, because he's invested very well in so many different areas of business that he's just a man of very big bucks, put it that way. And he said, I was a young man. It sounded like his late teens, maybe early 20s. And he said, I was involved with a woman, and she got pregnant, and she had an abortion. And he said, at that time, he said, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. He said, I have no idea. Nobody asked me. He said, you weren't the one who's going to make any decision here. But he said it has bothered him the rest of his life that he allowed and didn't stand up, as one of the Proverbs says, stand up for the poor, stand up for those who are being attacked. And it's bothered him ever since. He said, but then on the other hand, he said, you know what? He said, I'm not trying to excuse myself. But he says, you know what? With all the technology and what they have shown, babies, you know, how they are developed in the womb, the perfection of the whole thing, the technology, the science that they now understand, nobody has an excuse. That is a life there. And now, but you watch, all these people, these politicians, will declare themselves heroes. We got a law passed that you can only take the life of a child if it hasn't reached more than 2 months. How smooth, how sweet. You heroes, thank you. When we started out with the idea that abortion was a criminal offense for the doctor, a criminal offense for the woman, and anybody who assisted. And that's where we're at now. We're heroes. One state, Indiana, they're declaring themselves heroes because, and I don't remember what the cutoff date was with them, but it was, you know, what everybody says, well, that's reasonable. Yeah, that's reasonable. How reasonable is it if you're the one that's slaughtered in that womb? There's a wonderful video out by a, what do you call, mentally challenged man. I don't know what the correct term is. And he talks about his successes in life and all that. And he's circulating. And he said, you know, they wanted to kill me. They wanted to kill me. And I've had a pretty decent life, he said. I've contributed to this country, this world. It just makes you slow down and stop and think of how far we've come, why we've come because of sin, where we're at now, and it just leaves you breathless. Someone, what was it? Oh, all the troubles for the Democrats, and of course they didn't talk about this, has left us breathless about these three politicians in Virginia facing impeachment, some of them, or whatever. It leaves you breathless, the big changes. And they don't mention that doctor. And the people were ready to hang him when they watched that video. But that's all disappeared. That's how good Satan is. That's how powerful he is to control what people think. Because if you start thinking you're a hero because you've limited the murder of babies to 2 months, what is that? What kind of thinking is that? And how, as a country, can we allow that to happen? Because we know what the result's going to be, and God is going to punish this nation in such a manner that we don't particularly want to be there to see. It's something which we'll know about if we're alive, and we will understand why, but you don't want to have to be involved. You don't want to see it. You don't want to be there, so to speak. No, it really is an amazing thing that we have come to in this country, and that's how we've gotten there, is the sin. We can go back in history, and we can see the sins of our country, but the sins of the world. Nobody can point fingers at anybody that somebody is more guilty than someone else, because it's in our country from head to toe. And it got that particular thing, the sin of abortion, how it got started, the right to choose got started, the right to murder got started was in Roe versus Wade and Griswold. And it's just interesting. It's kind of hard to say. Maybe the Catholic Church had a good reason for raising the issue to tell people they couldn't use birth control. It's kind of outrageous. But maybe they were trying to have some morality in their state. They got off track, and that's what happened. They get off track, and here comes Satan, and he pushes it all the way. Lawyers know this when they're trying a case. If you can get a witness who's against you, and you can get them to say something that is overstated, obviously overstated that you know, and you get them to hang to it. No, that's right. I saw that red whatever. There was no red, but you knew it. He thinks he saw something red, whatever it might have been, red car, whatever. And then you just pound on it and say, yeah, you saw that red car. You're here swearing you saw that red car. Absolutely. Well, the point is then you bring back the fact that there was no red car ever seen, and here's the videos, et cetera, et cetera, and it makes the person a liar. Well, that's what happened to the Catholic Church. They had some idea of coming up with some kind of morality rule, and Satan just pushed it to the nth and made the court reach the conclusion, stay out of the bedroom, but for the wrong reason. And that reason was their big statement, your right to privacy, which is not in the Constitution. And they could have used the Constitution and made the right decision. So let's take a moment to understand God's point of view of how to avoid such things, how to avoid the Griswolds and the Roe versus Wades. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. You all know this scripture. And that's the point of one of the biggest point of my sermon. Talked about the fact that where are we? And we see the absolute disgusting circumstances we're in. As you know, shown as I've read those scriptures, we know those scriptures. How we got there? Well, it just in this particular situation, we know that Griswold took the Supreme Court down the path of ego, the path of wanting your name in the lights, and that's where Roe versus Wade was able to become law. There weren't witnesses, no experts, nothing. It just was lawyers arguing this way and that way on it, and the Supreme Court took it. Now, it bounced back and forth a couple times. I didn't go into the history of that, and I don't really recall it that well. But the final decision was 1973. And since then, where have we come on that specific issue? Why? Chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as it is not even named among the Gentiles. That is, a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. You see, this young lady who wants to kill the baby, the doctor who's willing to participate in it, oh, you can't prosecute them. Oh, they're just trying to take care of this person. They're just trying to be compassionate. For I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven, Griswold, a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You see how it goes? The greatest minds in the nation, the Supreme Court, how they were moved by the desire to be known in history, whatever, maybe some greed, maybe there was some money involved. God talks about the judges who accept bribes. Don't think it wouldn't happen. Or didn't happen, or hasn't happened at the Supreme Court level, because they can't outsmart Satan. He's wiser than they are. He's more clever than they are. They cannot outthink him. But God says, you start it here. You start with a little bit of leavening, and the whole loaf is leavened within a fairly short time. You know, a mere 40 years, 50 years. And here we are, the doctor saying, we'll take the baby and lay him on the hip gently with the mother, and then we'll cut its throat. That's where we've come. That's how it got there, the leavening of man's ego, of man's thinking, got us there. And we're coming up, of course, to that time of year where we are trying, we should be, and will, and I trust we do. I'm not doubting anyone. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11:28. We are to set aside our egos, our financial problems or financial victories, whichever way it might go. We're to set it aside because we're coming up to that time. We've got a couple months, of course, but we're turning that corner towards that time. And it says, but let man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We are coming to the time we have to examine ourselves. We'll hear about examining. We will hear about the days of unleavened bread and all that down the road, of course. But I just felt like this moment in history, when you have this kind of a decision made by, quote, qualified people, pediatricians, lifelong pediatricians, governors who are supposed to have the wisdom to rule over the state or the people, making decisions like we're seeing. How did we get there? Because that little bit of bread is infected with leavening that is so deadly to the human spirit that hopefully the reaction that I have seen on the internet concerning these decisions will help some people come through what's going to happen and be in the kingdom with us.